Welcome to Activate Yourself with Geeta Sidhu Rab, where we feature otherwise normal people who, because of events in their life, have turned left and done unusual, inspiring, incredible things, like build a business, become a happiness expert, marry a prince, create an empire, or like your host, set up a health and wellness business, Nosh Detox. Here's your host, Geeta Sidhu Rab.
Hi, my name is Geeta Sidhu Rab, and this is Activate Yourself. As always, our job on this show for today is to inspire you, to make you think again, to question yourself, and kind of think, should I really be doing what I'm doing? Because I'm a big, big fan of throwing everything up in the air and seeing what actually lands, because what if it's better? Particularly when you look out the door or turn on the news, you know, the TV or open a newspaper. Actually, I don't think I've opened a newspaper in about 5 years, but you know what I mean. And you think, oh my God, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. What do I do? Turns out when the world goes to hell in a handbasket, as you know, I am a firm proponent of the fact that that is very good, because it forces you to take that left turn. And that left turn leads you to the absolute best version of yourself. Or at least set you up on that pathway. So in true form, today I have a lady called Antonia Banowitz, because I pronounced that right, thank God. And the thing about Antonia that made me want to have her on was that she describes herself as a happiness coach. And you know what? I just think that anybody that says they're a happiness coach, we should really talk to, because honestly, at the very best case scenario, we're going to come out damn happy. And at the worst case scenario, we'll come out slightly happy or not less miserable than we were before. So it's a win-win all the way around. So Antonia, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Such a pleasure to have you. And when I asked you what possibly could have induced you to become a happiness coach, mm-hmm. You said something very interesting. You said that you were depressed and you knew that you had found tools that helped you, and that is why you became a happiness coach. And before I ask you about that, I was reading something in The Economist 2 days ago where they said mm-hmm. that antidepressants, which, so I work a lot with women over 40 and I work a lot in perimenopause. And, you know, over 35% of women, and I think the number's a lot higher, who go into doctor with symptoms of perimenopause are prescribed antidepressants because they don't know what to do with them. Yet, right. The study came out showing that actually what the companies have done is hidden data that doesn't show that antidepressants are helpful, and only release data which shows it is helpful, which is, you know, oh, shock, horror. Imagine that they hid information. But also they've shown that antidepressants really are only helpful in up to about 15% of cases, which is absolutely friggin' insane.
It is insane, isn't it? It's true. I mean, if antidepressants were the cure-all, then we'd all be taking them and there'd be no need. We wouldn't have all this epidemic of depression. And it's particularly a crime that they just hand them out to women at perimenopause. I mean,
children,
yes, that's the be-all cure. I mean, it's so backwards, you know, and I really think one of the things that's really fascinated me about the work that I do is it's really a practice of daily maintenance, quite frankly. There are tools you can use, but you've got to do them pretty regularly on a daily basis so that you keep your brain in good mindset. Yeah. And I honestly think that, I mean, they're starting to do this with mindfulness training, but I actually think in schools it would be really helpful if they did, no joke, happiness training, where we learned about these tools and how to work with our minds to reframe things.
I mean, the brain is neuroplasticity incarnate. Why wouldn't yes. we teach people to be happy? Because it turns out we can teach people to be miserable easy as hell. Let's try making them happy too. Why would you teach them not to? Why don't we teach them how to? I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, and we pay no attention to that in schools. Like I said, mindfulness training is coming in, which I think is fantastic. But I think that these tools, you know, it's not like you do them once and they work. You have to do them. I call them daily hygiene habits.
So you're saying that happiness can be learned.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Tell me more about that.
Well, I think that you can stumble upon happiness, but I think there are things that you can do to clear your mind. And for instance, we all know that meditation is something that can help and is very good for us. Well, that's one example of a habit. But another example would be to go throughout your day and to scan for positive moments, meaningful moments throughout your day, and actually write those down in your journal. So just that focus of scanning your life for positivity, because we all have a negativity bias. That's been proven by science. Yeah. We tend to go to the negative in our day rather than the positive. So if we actually recorded the positive and focused on that, it would actually start to change the way we think over time. And you were talking about neuroplasticity. It would start to change the way the neurons transfer in our brains. And
I love that idea, because the more you thought about it, the more you'd vibrate and resonate to happiness as well. So happiness would beget happiness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What we think about tends to become our reality, right? I mean, that's pretty much out there, as we know, and we tend to agree with that for the most part. Some people may not. However, what we focus our minds on is what we're going to see more of in our world and bring more of back to us.
Yeah, no, I think that's amazing. So you see it as, because I work in health and wellness, and so I know that staying healthy is not something you do on Sunday at 4 o'clock. Staying healthy is something that you do every single day, and that it becomes part of the routine, part of the systemization of how I live, not something. So is that what you're meaning by keeping your, by like hygiene, daily hygiene?
Yeah. Happiness, hygiene, habits. These are things that you do. And there are several different things that you can do, but you choose the ones which resonate the most for you. And you practice them on a daily basis, or at least as often as you can. And it's like if you are a runner, you go jogging every day, you know, that kind of thing.
Working out. No, because I hate running and I cannot understand why anyone does
it. Well. Skip that.
I cannot bear it. But yes, I get the whole working out bit, but just not the running bit.
Exactly. And then, so these are things that you do to keep yourself in that state of mind, because it's all about how you're thinking. At the bottom line is, it's all about how your brain is thinking. Are you looking for the negative in your life and really focusing on that, which is what we tend to do when we're depressed? All we can see is the negative, anxiety-ridden world. Or are we looking for the more positive?
So what do you do, for example? Like, I was speaking to a client earlier today, and there's a place where she almost feels like a victim. So you go through perimenopause, right? Your whole life is upside down. Your body becomes that belong to an alien. Nothing you know about your body works again, because it's like a body, and not in a good way. Your brain, I mean, like, I do public speaking. I was terrified for like 2 years, where I was like, I'll stand on stage and not remember the next word. Right? So that changes, you're fatigued, everything changes. How do you find happiness? Isn't some of happiness feeling in control?
Well, yes, it's feeling in control, but it's also, and this is going to sound kind of paradoxical, but it's also going and being, leaning into whatever the situation is. Acceptance is a big part of happiness as well. And acceptance doesn't, I don't mean just lying down and rolling over and it's like, you know, you take whatever comes your way and you're a doormat. No, but it does mean that you accept what happens to you in any given moment. And from that place, you learn to transform it into something that can be of use to you and can be a growth tool and be more positive. You know?
So you're saying it's not the same as turning the other cheek, which is not a concept I've ever liked, because I'm like, if you hit me, I should just hit you back harder.
Yeah.
But you're saying that, and I agree with this, because if you're in a place where you actually keep lying to yourself about where you are, when I'm coaching, I'm like, I don't know how to help you if you won't see where we are. And if you're afraid to see where we are, then what you're doing is making it unable for you to come out of this space, right?
Oh, well, yes, exactly. And you were talking about feeling powerless and you were talking about perimenopause. Well, not ironically, but one of my lowest depression points, because I'm a depression sufferer myself, was when I went through menopause and perimenopause. And I had early menopause. I was diagnosed with perimenopause at around I think it was 42 or something like that. So I was really, I was devastated by that because we were going to have children and we couldn't. I waited late. And, you know, the doctor very nastily said to me, well, your eggs are too old. And that just killed me when I heard that. I was, yeah, I was just like, oh my God. And it just really hit me. And so that was a very tough time. And I went through one of my depressions during that time as well, which isn't surprising considering.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, exactly. And I felt powerless. But, you know, that was one of the times where I got sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yeah.
And I thought, yeah, this is my PowerPoint. And I don't know how I came to this because I was really down, but somehow I this feeling of gratitude kind of slivered in at me. And I thought, okay, I'm not going to let this keep happening. You know, I'm getting into my late 40s, early 50s. I'm going to stand up for my life and I'm going to find out what it is that's going to make me live a happier life.
Stop right there because we're going to go for a break. And when we come back, I want to know what you did.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And we're back. So what is it? Yeah. What did you do to make yourself feel more powerful and to decide on your happier life?
Well, first of all, it wasn't like a magic pill. It wasn't like, okay, I made that decision and everything's fine. I went to a lot of workshops and seminars. I did a lot of reading. I did a lot of listening. And this is another story as well, but I went to a 12-step group. And learned from them. I had been in therapy for years. I learned from that, but I started to put all these together and I started to realize that there were certain things that were being pointed to.
Yeah, yeah. That they had in common.
Yeah, exactly. And so I started realizing that, and you know, we had just talked about this, but looking for the positive in your day, that was one thing. It sounds very simple and trivial.
No, it's so insane that I'm like, I'm going to do that.
Yeah. And it's very simple, but it's not easy because we don't tend to want to do that. We tend to think, what's the point? Yeah. But it was starting to practice certain things and realize that when I did a series of tools, they would make me feel better. You know, and one of the tools that was very new to me was being of service and connecting with others, how important connection is, you know, because when I was going through that dark cave, I always call my depression a dark cave because it seemed like that to me. And I always would panic because I would think I wouldn't get out. And that's what I
you
felt
think,
like,
my God.
Yeah. And when I was going through menopause, that's what I felt as well. I felt like I couldn't see the other side or the exit from this cave I was in, but there is an exit. And you know, the other thing is, I think there's real power with getting older, or at least that's what I found. Yeah. You know, I think that once you realize, okay, I'm getting older, but this is my chance to, like, I don't have to please people anymore. I don't have to
That's
be
what
anybody
I hear
wants me
again
to be.
And again, you hear all these women just going, yeah, well, now I can choose what I want to do, right?
Yeah, exactly. You really can. And you don't have to, like, you know, worry about looks so much or all that. And, you know, I'm thinking about, okay, when am I going to go gray? You know, when am I going to let my hair go gray and really embrace it? You know, I still like highlighting, but at any rate, so that was around the time where it became, like I said, a real PowerPoint for me. And I found that practicing these tools, for instance, being of service, something as simple as, and this was a study that they actually did at Facebook as well. They had a group of volunteers do a study for 21 days where they would write an email to somebody every day, a different person, praising them on something that they honestly thought was a good point about themselves. Yeah, so it had to be genuine. You can't just fake it through this stuff. And so they would send that out and they found that low-level pessimists became optimists by the end of the 21 days. That's how powerful it was. Yeah, by reaching out and making somebody feel better by being of service. So I started to look more in that direction for my life. The other thing is, although I knew this, I really realized that to find my own power and happiness in life, it was an inside job. I wasn't going to be able to go externally anymore. You know, it didn't really matter what the hell I was doing, as long as I was going inside and, you know, connecting with my own sense of my spirituality, not religion, mind you, but spirituality. You know, maybe that is religion for some folks. Maybe it's not for others. But, you know, connecting with that path.
Yeah, but I see the difference in what you're saying, because religion can be an external thing. It can be a church thing. Mm-hmm. It can be organized religion. It can be external, external, external. And there's an outside God, whereas spirituality is so much about your inner growth, your vibration, your who you are and what you do about that, right?
Yeah, exactly. I love what you said about your inner growth, your vibration. Yeah. How about that? It really is, you know, where you're vibrating. Are you here? Or are you further up?
Yeah, because you're resonant to wherever you're vibrating. And that resonance is what you create, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, interestingly enough, around the time I went through perimenopause and menopause, I started after around that time and after I started attracting better people into my life.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah, people that were thinking more like my new path, like my new way of thinking, and people that were starting to do these tools. They may not know about happiness coaching per se, but they were doing these tools just part of their way of life. People that were not backstabbing and gossipy. You know, there's no time for that anymore either. None of that, you know, talking bad about other people or dissing other people or any of that, you know. So I was real pleased. And, you know, I won't say that everybody I meet is brilliant or that I get along with everybody I meet, but I certainly meet a higher caliber of people, in my opinion.
I was talking to somebody earlier today, and I was thinking that I had forgotten because we were talking about being victims and not being victims, because I have a client who I was speaking to, as I said, who was feeling very much like a victim. And I said, when we ended up divorced with 3 kids, and I was literally penniless, sleeping on a girlfriend's floor, and I got a contract, and the contract paid me £10,000, and it was life changing. I had had £14 before that, so it was like a huge amount of money. And I remember thinking, I have to do something with this money so it means something, because otherwise I would just be paying bills and then at the end it would be gone. And I spent £1,000 like on behalf of my children and I, and we put a roof on a school in a very, very poor district in India. And the school did not have a proper roof. It had these plastic sheets, and every time there was like major rain or something, everything would go terrible. So I paid for a tin roof to go on this building. And I feel this is exactly what you're saying, because I, at that stage, even though I was feeling poor and helpless and powerless and all the terrible things, that one act, the choice I made me feel rich, because I was grateful, I was wealthy, and I didn't know that's what I was doing in those days, but I think I just shifted my vibration because of that one choice, which is exactly what you are talking about.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. And you said something very important in there. You said doing this thing about putting the new roof on the schoolhouse made you feel grateful. And that's another huge area. And I think, you know, we tend to look externally. Do I have the job, the car, the house, all those things? Or we tend to look internally, like what's happening in my day that I can be grateful for? And gratitude's a huge one. It really is. And that's one of the reasons why helping others is great for gratitude, because it makes us really feel that sense of my life is okay.
How did you go from that place where this moron said your eggs are too old to finding the acceptance? Because I think the finding the inner acceptance is actually really hard. Do you think that? Because if you can just tell me, because I want to go for a break, but do you agree with me that that's quite difficult? Or do you think there's another step that's more difficult?
I think finding the acceptance is extremely difficult. And that's why, you know, a lot of people are going through depression, but they haven't found that place where they can accept it and move through it. And when I was going through menopause, I had a hard time accepting it, especially perimenopause. I was like,
well, that's also because we didn't know what the hell was going on, because no one told us what was going on either, right?
That's right. No one told us.
And let's just quickly go for a break. Okay. Don't be interesting for a millisecond. If you can scope. we'll go for a break and we'll come back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And we're back. So what do you do to help people to accept where they are?
Well, one thing I did for myself back when I was going through my perimenopause stage and I felt really, you know, out of control, mm-hmm. is I started educating myself, and I read books like from Christine Northrup and books like that. So I started to learn about my situation. So I took an action. So, you know, you do have to take an action. That's part of it, too. It's not just all feeling groovy and sitting around, you know, singing kumbala. You know, you do have to take an action. So I learned about my situation, and I learned that it's a time to be honored as well. And I think it was through that realizing, wow, this is a time to be honored. Are you kidding me? But I realized that through that, I started to go, okay, what if this is a time to be honored? And I was feeling—
So honor yourself, you mean?
Yeah, and honor the stages of life that you go through.
Oh, I see what you mean, that you should honor this time. Okay, this is a time to be honored. Okay, in Britain, that means that you can be honored. So it's a slightly different language thing, but I get it now.
Oh, okay, sure.
So you're saying that honor this space, this time, and be aware of where you are, and okay, say, okay, I'm honoring that I'm in this space.
Exactly. It's a life change, right? Yeah. It's a big life change. And we can't fight it. And I think our depression and anxiety and frustration comes out of, I mean, there's certainly symptoms, obviously, but I think it comes out of the fact that we are tending to fight it. We don't want to get older. We don't want to go through this. At least that's what I felt. And I was fighting it. So when I said I took action, at the same time, I let myself be okay with my feelings. And that's not an easy state to get to.
No.
But I didn't know what else to do. And that's where I talk about acceptance and surrender. I was like, okay, there's no way out except for through. So I kind of let myself be at the same time I was taking my action. And I let myself be with my feelings. And I let myself think about, well, would it be like to honor this passage? And as I did that and I learned more, I started to grow through the low feelings. And I started to realize, okay, I realize I'm going through this and I want to see what's on the other side. And as soon as I did that, you know how I talk about positive things come into your life? I started meeting women who were bold and powerful, you know, they were like celebrating life. And I thought, well, this is my new tribe. These are my new peeps. But seriously, I found a new tribe of people. I wasn't trying to, you know, be like one of the people in their 30s or 40s. I wasn't that. I was changing. And it was okay, because there's a wonderful tribe of us on the other side. There really is. It's fantastic.
Yeah. And I think that, I have to agree. I think that it's also one of the places where there are so many amazing, fun, interesting, exciting women to hang out with who've done miraculous stuff. And you kind of don't, I almost feel like you don't meet them until you hit perimenopause and menopause, because that's when they're willing to kind of let their light shine, because you've done all the baby making and the baby looking after and the this and the that, and you're like, okay, me now. And then suddenly you show up in a whole different way.
It's I think it's so true. You're right. Our focus is on our raising children and our work, if we're working outside the home, and that's where the focus is. And so when you get to this stage, like you said, the focus becomes on really getting empowered. And, you know, I think that women are stronger than ever. And I think there's a whole new, this is why I think it's very exciting for women going through perimenopause and menopause. I really believe it's exciting because I think there's a whole new focus on women that are of age in their 50s and 60s and even 70s and beyond. Yeah. That you're seeing, like you said, women who speak out, who are doing incredible things at these ages. You know, it's not the time where you have to stop at all. Books are being written, speeches are being given, companies are being started. You know, I didn't start my happiness coaching until after I was through menopause. I didn't. Yeah, I wasn't even there to bring that in. I was trying other external things, which were all fine, but it wasn't, you know, where I think my real passion has lies, you know?
But I also think the other thing when I'm listening to you that I feel and I'm sensing is that the world is always a better place when there's more balance between the masculine and the feminine. And I think that as women, when we're young, we lack the confidence to have that balance because we're so oppressed by how we are supposed to bloody look and sound and all this crap that gets thrown at us. And it's only when you get through kind of perimenopause and you have to fight to find out who you are again, that you learn to come out from under all that shit and go, actually, this be who I am and I like who I am. You know?
Oh, yeah, that is true. And I'll tell you what, you know, you don't stand for as much shit when you go through this.
Right?
You really do not. It's like, this is who I am. And, you know, I'm not going to cook your meals every night. I'm not going to clean your house. You know, I am standing on my own two feet. And these are my quirks. These are my eccentricities. And it's all okay. And we're willing to say that to men. Whereas I think when we're younger, and you're seeing this change, which is all wonderful stuff. But I think when we're younger, we tend to, just as you said, want to be attractive and you know, reel in the opposite.
Well, it's hard when that's, you're told it's your only role. If it's you're told it's your only role, it takes a lot to fight that.
It really does, because society is so strong on that. You know, have you found someone? Are you getting married? I mean, all this emphasis on getting married and having children, because that's what everybody does. So you should be doing that too, is exhausting.
Yeah. And I look at my kids, actually, and my children are one of my daughters who's 22. And that's just not a common age for us to get married in this country. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I just want to have kids as soon as possible. And I was like, you know what? I'm a fan. And she was like, oh, because, you know, my generation was like, go get a job. Like, she's being told, go get a job, you know, do something because you can do this and do that. And I'm like, yeah, but if you want to have babies, I knew I wanted babies and I was always going to have to pay their bills, but I knew I wanted babies. And I did that really early on. But it took me a very long time to accept that I really got judged for it.
Oh, yeah. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Right.
Yeah.
And you get to perimenopause and you're like, go to hell.
Go to hell. That's right.
I remember.
Go to hell.
I have my favorite phrase for something like this is somebody will say, oh, you know, do you find that, you know, people say that, you know, you could be a little difficult. And I look at them and I go, I make more money than you. It's like, have you put on weight? I make more money than you.
I love that.
I'm like, honestly, do you know what I mean? I'm like, I feel like what we should do is just cut to the chase. Shut up.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, women are often accused of being difficult. And I think it's because
it's an accolade.
It's an accolade because we're becoming the bosses in our life. So anyway, bosses have to stand up for what they need. It's okay for men to do that, but you hear a woman doing that. And even in this day and age, it's termed as difficult or bitchy, you know?
Yeah. And, I read an amazing phrase, which I cannot remember, but it was something about women being difficult. And they were like, good. How fast can you get there? You go get labeled that. That was it. Jane Goodall, who runs the, she does the chimpanzee rescue. She's an amazing woman.
Love her.
Yeah. And I think it was a quote by her. And she said, if I'd known I was going to say this, I'd have looked it up better. But she said, it takes very little for a woman to be judged as difficult. So I would try and get there as fast as possible.
Yes, I can't believe you brought that up. I just read that the other day. Isn't
Wait,
that amazing?
It was on something recently.
It was on something. Yes, I saw it too. And I was like, that is it. That's what we're talking about.
So thank you so much, Antonia, for the time that you've given me. It's run past us. How do people find you? Because I know that you have this amazing ebook that people can download. How else do people find you?
You can find me through my website, or you can find me through my email. Either way, my website is www.brighterbetterdays.com. And you can go there and find out all the ways to connect with me on my website. You can get the free ebook.
I love brighterbetterdays.com. That's great. Yeah, actually, to be fair, while we've been talking, I have posted your ebook in like my Facebook groups. I'm like, people should probably download this.
Fantastic. That's great. Thank you. Yeah.
You're so welcome.
I'd love to hear from people. So let me know. Yeah. Send a message. Give a call.
That would be amazing. Thank you so much. I really love this conversation with you.
Oh, thank you so much. Me too. It was great.
So this is the gorgeous Antonia. Please go and have a look at her brighterbetterdays.com. My name is Geeta Sidhu-Rob. Thank you so much for joining me again, and I look forward to speaking with you all again soon.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our goal was to give you pause, make you think about your life, and inspire you to say, wow, what if I tried to do that? If they can do it, so can I. Did it work? Let us know by finding us on social media at Geeta Sidhu Rob or at Nosh Detox. We upload new shows every 2 weeks here. And if you start to miss us, check us out on YouTube.